Hello and welcome to this podcast. Today's episode focuses on emerging strategies to treat dry eye disease via neuromodulation. The audio comes from a presentation from Dr. Zeba Syed, Director of the Cornea Fellowship Program at Wills Eye Hospital in Philadelphia. She was speaking at the Envision Summit in Puerto Rico earlier this year. First, Dr. Syed will discuss the growth of neuromodulation to treat a variety of health issues.
Over the past decade or so, we have seen a growing use of neurostimulation and neuromodulation in disease management. Before we jump into these terms as they apply to the eye, what do they mean in general? So neuromodulation is when we modify neurologic behavior, and through that modification, we can deliver a stimulus, such as an electric stimulus, a magnetic stimulus, or a chemical stimulus, such as with varenicline, which we'll talk about. And these stimuli will actually modify neurologic function. So that's what neuromodulation is we kind of take over an existing function and we modify it. Versus neurostimulation, which includes use of electrodes to the brain or spinal cord to stimulate. So they're slightly different terms. Now, in addition to ophthalmology and dry eye, neuromodulation and stimulation have found use, you know, across medicine. We see a range of conditions, including bladder dysfunction being treated with these devices, chronic pain, epilepsy, OCD, Parkinson's disease, Tourette's, all have been treated through different neurostimulation or neuromodulatory approaches.
The discussion then shifts to neuromodulation for the eye. More specifically, the lacrimal functional unit, or LFU. This term encompasses the many glands, cells, and tissues responsible for producing the aqueous, mucin, and lipid components of the tear film. The nervous system, which plays a crucial role in activating the LFU, is the target for approved device and pharmacologic treatments for dry eye disease.
But let's move on to what we're all here for is, how does this apply to dry eye disease? So the lacrimal functional unit is a pretty complex unit that includes lacrimal glands, meibomian glands, goblet cells, eyelids, mucosa, all of that. But why we care about it is because of this, there's an interconnecting innervation. And that's where we have an opportunity to modulate the function of this entire LFU or lacrimal functional unit by taking advantage of the innervation of the unit. So what is that innervation? So there are two primary kind of neuronal reflexes that produce tears. One, the one we're most familiar with, is when you have ocular surface irritation. Your cornea or your conjunctiva is very dry or irritated. You have these exposed nerve endings on the corneal surface, and then you get this reflex, you get this feedback, sensory trigeminal nerve, send this feedback that stimulates your lacrimal functional unit. That's the one we all know about. You know, we have dry eye, you get this reflex tearing, very common. The other one that many of us may not be as familiar with is this nasolacrimal reflex. So the nasolacrimal reflex actually involves mucosal sensory nerves in the nasomucosa. And when you activate it, that actually sends afferent trigeminal stimulation that then triggers this lacrimal functional unit that then produces mucus, aqueous, and lipid components. And that can happen within immediately. So stimulation of not just the cornea and conjunctiva produces tears, but also inside in the nasolacrimal reflex. And that second one is the one that we are going to take advantage of when we talk about varenicline, for example. So kind of nasolacrimal stimulation is not a new concept. There have been devices that have been approved, you know, over the past years, such as TrueTear, which became very popular in 2017, 2018. It was discontinued a few years later, primarily due to manufacturing cost. There is the iTear, which is an external nasal nerve stimulator. So that actually goes on the outside of your nose, and you stimulate those nerves through external stimulation. And so the data for the I-tier has been very good. So this is a study that was published in 2020. Was a multi-center trial that included patients with dry eye disease, a low Schirmer score. Primary endpoint was Schirmer score after 30 days. And secondary endpoint was OSDI at 30 days. And the eye care, this external nasal stimulation, had significant improvements in Schirmer and OSDI at 30 days, as you can see on the graphs. Mild adverse events in all of these nasal stimulatory devices, mostly sneezing, nasal irritation, these are the types of side effects that were noted.
Next, Dr. Syed provides perspectives on varenicline nasal spray, which was approved as a twice-daily treatment for dry eye disease in 2021.
Now, the varenicline nasal spray, which is now kind of relatively newer than the others, is a preservative-free nasal spray. It stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system by stimulating these acetylcholine receptors of the trigeminal nerve on the kind of external nasal mucosa. And that then produces this nasal lacrimal reflex that stimulates the lacrimal functional unit and produces tears and mucin and basically activates the entire nasal lacrimal functional unit. And this works. Patients often note results within hours. You know, it doesn't take months and months or weeks to get a response. Usually it's within, you know, hours to days that folks are having improvement in symptoms. So in my practice, common candidates for varenicline, you know, I have a kind of referral cornea practice, so I don't see too many comprehensive patients. They're usually folks who have been referred by comprehensive clinics or optometry to cornea. So these are folks who have already tried topical therapy for dry eye, and they don't want to try anymore. You know, they've been on every single medication out there, and they want to try something other than a topical therapy. So these are good candidates for a nasal spray, because you can really offer them a whole different mechanism of action than the nasal, than the topical drops. Patients who are on many glaucoma drops, I mean, when you share patients with glaucoma specialists and other doctors, they're often on, you know, they're often on multiple different glaucoma drops by the time they see you. And here's one way to avoid, you know, that fourth or fifth or sixth drop is by using a nasal spray. And then, of course, lifestyle considerations. And I have patients who tell me that, you know, they don't like using eye drops during the day because it affects their makeup, and they, you know, they need their makeup to stay intact during the day, or they can't keep up with a certain drop frequency because of their requirements at work or whatever it may be. But the nasal spray is one way to avoid some of these concerns, lifestyle concerns or other concerns in our patients with dry eye.
Next, Dr. Syed reviews phase 2 and 3 clinical trial data for this agent.
So the phase 2 MYSTIC trial had adult patients who had varenicline in different dosage strengths versus vehicle, and treated patients had a significant improvement in tear production versus the vehicle, improvement in Schirmer's. The adverse events were very mild, and again, most of these adverse events are kind of sneezing, nasal discomfort, irritation, maybe temporary blurriness, those types of events that tend to resolve on their own. And then there was the phase 2 onset trial that also included adults with dry eye. They had one of 3 dosage strengths of the varenicline. And similarly in the study, the higher dosage groups had had improvements in their tear film production. They had improvements in their Schirmer's tests, and they had a greater mean reduction in the dry eye score. And again, very mild adverse events such as sneezing. Now the very important trial was this onset 2, which was their phase 3 study, which was a randomized, multi-center, double masked, vehicle-controlled trial. Adults with dry eye disease and a low Schirmer test were randomized to twice daily treatment with varenicline at 2 different doses and a vehicle for 4 weeks, and the primary endpoint was kind of Schirmer test at 4 weeks. And you can see here that a significantly greater percentage of patients achieved greater than or equal to 10 millimeter improvement in Schirmer's at 4 weeks in both varenicline dosage groups. And then if you just look at the kind of absolute Schirmer score, the change from baseline in Schirmer at week four was greater for patients receiving varenicline than vehicle. And so this was the major trial that really kind of consolidated varenicline as an option for dry eye disease. The safety overall, the vast majority did well. Mild adverse events, you know, sneezing, coughing, irritation, temporary, and then non-ocular adverse events were fewer in the vehicle group than in the varenicline treatment group.
The final point Dr. Syed will make in today's episode is exactly how patients administer a nasal spray to treat an ocular condition.
You know, tipping your head back, pointing the tip of the spray not inward, so you're not pointing it towards your sinus, you're really pointing it towards the outer nasal mucosa to stimulate those nerves. And then tongue should kind of be lifted to try to avoid swallowing it. And then when you're spraying, it's just a really gentle nasal breath in. It's not like an aggressive attempt to get it in, you know, everywhere, because you don't want to swallow it. And so it's just a really gentle inhalation through your nose, with your head tipped back, your tongue lifted and pointed kind of outward. And patients will know pretty quickly if it's working. You know, usually immediate, within a few hours, they'll know if it's helping them.
That's it for today. Thank you for joining us for this podcast.